You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenthal. You're listening to another thrilling episode of The Toilet of Hell radio show. I am joined today with a full cast and crew. I'm talking, of course, on my left-hand side, I've got the Brenno side. Brenno, how are you?
Hey, man. You know, it's good to be back. I'm glad I could stutter and not think of what to say immediately at the beginning of the show, per usual. That's always a very exciting, great feeling. It's awesome. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And of course, my right-hand man, the golden boy, the internet sweetheart. I'm talking, of course, about 365 days of horror, or as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how are you?
Ooh, lousy smarch weather.
It really and truly sucks. It started snowing the other day. Again, I'm in Texas. This is fucking bullshit. Can't stress that enough. We got a lot of things to get on today, but before we do all of that, how are you guys?
Why would you live in Texas if it snows? Like, what else is there?
Yeah, like, basically, there is nothing now. Like, the summer is awful. It lasts 9 months long, and then it snows the rest of the time. And then your government tries to kill you.
Yeah, like all of those things would have been made okay if you didn't have to shovel your driveway any given week.
I'm just saying that the state is a monument to man's arrogance, and it should be destroyed.
Anyway, with that said, yeah, I appreciate everyone's immense patience during my absence. You know, you got to listen to the show even if I'm not here. I know that's almost impossible, but I appreciate that from everybody. Yeah, I've just been very busy. I've started a new job, and it is we're supplying inventory to surgical centers.
Thank you.
In terms of, yeah, no problem, boss. So anything that anyone might need to be hacked up in an orthopedic sense, I have to make sure it's all there and set for them. So that means that I essentially work hospital hours, which is all of them. So yeah, it's been very busy, but it's a good job. I like it. It's not an insane just stew of toxicity like any other workplace I've worked before. You're allowed to just do your job in the time it takes you to do it, which is all of the time. So I guess that's the only problem, but I mean, hospitals are 24/7. So what can I say?
Are you working a 7-to-7?
I should be working a 7-to-4 on paper, but anything after 4 o'clock is overtime. So, it's been quite lucrative for old Brenno over here. I have a nice new denim jacket and a watch.
Ooh,
and that's really all that's changed in my life, you know, and I'm so I can look at the things that I've earned.
My man with the glow up
on me. Yeah. Yeah. I get a sweet new haircut on the 26th. I don't get to go long haired again anymore, just out of brokedom.
That's pretty good. What kind of watch you get? What kind of timepiece do you have?
Man, I got one of these fucking smartwatches. It's a Google OS one, which sucks. I should have just gotten an iPhone with an iWatch. I can't keep fighting the anti-Apple fight anymore. It's like they just make the better stuff, man. It's okay. I mean, it tells the time, and it buzzes when you get a text message, and that's it. You look like a Power Ranger just for fucking looking at it. It's stupid. I don't know why people have them, but I had the $200 to waste, so
there you go.
It looks like a watch, and it tells time. I guess adults have those. So
I have a $9 Casio that I wear every day. I'm a big fan of it. It's indestructible, I'm pretty sure.
Does it have a calculator built into it?
No, that's an affectation. I have the straight white panel, two arms, you know, Casio. It's a good one. Highly recommend it. But you know,
my next upgrade is not New Balance shoes. Whatever shoes, I have to like Google what cool shoes are. I've never lived this life before, so it's you know, uncharted territory for me. But that's enough about me. Let's talk about everyone's favorite.
Yeah, Jordan, have you recently been flossing? Have you been like glowing up as well?
I mean, I always floss and I always brush twice a day. But I want to go back to Brenno's denim jacket. What album cover are you painting on the back of it?
it's like a nice Levi's jacket. I will not.
So Dio, holy diver.
Yeah. I will not deface this jacket I spent just at least $80 on. It's if I were to go on Amazon and get something else, maybe. But it's really, I've tried that. I don't know if metal dudes have tried that going on Amazon for like denim vests and stuff. It doesn't hit quite right. Like, it's not the one we need.
I got the Levi's trucker vest, and I put like my Pig Destroyer shirt on the back of it, and it looks nice. But I think it's the same like trucker jacket, just cut down to a vest like you've got, I think, anyway.
Usually my default loadout is just black, just a black jacket with the black t-shirt, black I don't have any heroes, man. I don't like any bands, and I want to make sure everybody knows that. So it's just black t-shirts. That's all it is.
Well, I mean, it's an anachronism within your scene, but you know, that makes it cooler.
Right. And I mean, look, think of all the best bands ever, the top tier AAA metal bands, their band photos. They're not wearing band shirts, just black t-shirts, black jackets. That's it. So
is that true?
I'm shooting for the fucking stars here, brother. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I feel like we need to do some research on this one. This claim is disputed by me.
All right. Okay. We'll do it right now. What's like a AAA, like, we're talking nuclear blast level metal band. Like, who do we got off the top of our tongue?
Are you taking into consideration timing of photos? Like, if you say a Black Sabbath or a Judas Priest, for pictures from the 70s and early 80s, there probably weren't too many band pictures to go around right now, right?
No. So what we got to do is got to think of somebody a bit more modern. You know what? We're going to segue into this. Amon Amarth.
Damn it, I was going to do it.
Yeah. Well, fuck it. I'm sorry. I fucked up Jordan's segue. That's like a seppuku level event. That's just not something I should do.
So your game is off because you haven't been on in a couple weeks.
I haven't been on. It's true. All right. So Amon Amarth, let's do like a 2020 band. What's the latest album they've done? 2022, I think, right?
They just put out a new album.
Yeah, so a band
and
photo.
Guess what the songs are about? Vikings.
Every time Vikings. I see a photo of Amon Amarth, their vocalist is wearing a black, what is it called? The
Under Armour
shirt. You know, just like the old guys with pot bellies at Walmart in your neighborhood. Like, it's I guess, accentuate your curves. I can't quite tell what the purpose is.
No, absolutely.
It's a bro girdle.
Yeah, it's really a style choice. But I can't say that, like, in my eyes, I don't think that's as cool as, say, wearing like any band tee in the world. I don't care which band. It could be like Carly Rae Jepsen. I think that would be cooler than the bro girdle.
You think? Okay, so the bro girdle, not cool. But
I don't think it's cool. But again, like, we're a pretty niche, you know, fixture within this whole metal scene. Clearly, a lot of people disagree with me.
All right, I just sent you the photo. 2022, Amon Amarth, black t-shirts.
All right, let's see if I can figure out how to use Skype. Oh, they're all wearing it.
It's how it is, man. If you want to nail it on nuclear blast, you got to put away the gate creeper. You got to put away the four-sided. It's not how it works. It's black t-shirt. Sometimes black jacket. It's okay too. Like, you got one of those leather daddy jackets, that's fine. A black denim, you know, denim, whatever. Just you can't really represent anybody but yourself. You can't be fans of anybody. You got to be the spotlight. So I'm just saying, man, if you guys have real aspirations out there and you're taking band photos in a garage and you're all wearing your, you know, various colors of mishmash of neon green and orange and red and Cannibal Corpse colors, like, it's, you're not going to go as far. This is the formula right here.
What about, say, you know, taking the same approach, but instead it's a white V-neck tee with a black suit vest that's really way too tight. How would we feel about that?
I mean, that's like Maroon 5, right? Like, that's way up there.
I mean, I feel like I've seen a number of nuclear blast bands do a similar kind of thing, though.
Oh, you mean like a folk singy kind of
band?
Yeah. Shit, I mean, I haven't even considered that. I don't even want to get
in that, man.
Yeah. So, okay, if you're talking like a Corporal Clowney, then even less so. Like, the white flowy shirts. I mean, if you think about all the 80s bands, and I mean, even Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, whatever, a lot of them weren't wearing band shirts. They were wearing, like, you know, spandex and crazy get-ups and shit. So, I mean, that's even farther off the grid. Can't. Just band shirts, they don't exist anywhere in band photos that bands that are huge. That's the thing.
I feel like there's no loyalty once people hit it big. They're like, I'm not going to give anything back to my peers.
That and just holding your image. And Amon Amarth, you have your black t-shirts and your beards, and you're looking all tough with your Thor's hammer necklaces. Or yeah, you have a Sabaton with your camo pants and whatever it is they wear.
Yeah, just looking like a 10-pound sack of shit in a 5-pound bag. I love that you guys brought up Amon Amarth, because I've seen that they've been in the news lately. Johan Hegg, you guys know Johan?
I know Johan.
I don't know if you guys know this.
The answer to that question.
There's like a war or something going on. I don't know if you saw anything about it.
Have you guys talked about it the last several episodes? I've definitely listened to it, I promise.
No, this is all new to me.
Okay.
No, it's Johan. Because he is in a big, tough metal band, he's a big, tough man. You can tell by his tactical wear. He's a big fan of the toughest of sports.
Bowling.
Yeah, darts.
Human cockfighting.
UFC, the ultimate fighting championship. You guys know what the UFC is?
Yeah.
It hasn't been popular in about 10 years, yes.
The involvement from my two favorite human beings on Earth, Dana White and Joe Rogan. Like, yeah, just a perfect combination of dudes making a perfect company work.
Every time that I've been suckered into watching a UFC fight, it has been fucking garbage, man. I just, I fall for it. I've fallen for it 10 times, and I fucking hate MMA.
Yeah, UFC stopped being cool in the mid-90s when they started putting rules in. You couldn't just jab thumbs into a guy's bleedy eye with your bare hands anymore.
Yeah,
I think the very first UFC event, there were like two rules, and it was something like no biting and no eye gouging, which meant like crotch stomping was okay.
Yeah, they had to add fish hooks later.
The first UFC was really a great experiment, because the idea behind it was like, we're going to take people who are, you know, world champions in completely disparate forms of martial arts and pit their forms against each other. And what you saw was just horrendous bloodletting.
Yeah, they really couldn't clean up that ring good enough.
Yeah.
I feel like this is literally a Joe Rogan conversation, though, where it's like, where else are you going to find a fucking tennis player like going up against LeBron James or some shit? You know, in the UFC, it's all sorts of guys from all sorts of different sports doing one sports, you know?
I'm a big boxing fan. I feel like that's something that makes sense to me. It is also a blood sport, but it doesn't offend my sensibilities the same way that UFC does, for a number of reasons. It's not just the blood sport thing. It's all the baggage associated with it. That being said, talking about this now, because Johan Hegg is really... really going out of here. He's saying that he's refusing to watch the UFC, and he's going to refuse to watch the UFC until the moment that Dana White stops allowing Russians to participate in it.
Man, that's too bad. I mean, the Viking diet, that's pure protein.
I feel like they had a more robust diet than that. I think that they were eating lots of things because they were all over the place.
Not as pure protein and fighting in the dirt, man, with swords. That's a workout right there.
Getting diverticulated.
And fucking herpes from all the raping and pillaging.
Oh, boy. This is something that Jordan and I talked about a bit on the last episode, and that I don't know if it's just as alienating to you as it is to me, Jordan, but I am no longer enjoying being online.
at all.
I've never enjoyed being online.
It's just zero internet for you is the best.
Being online is a lot of fun for me. It's one of the highlights of my life. Over the last couple of weeks, I have stopped being as online because I've been focusing on like the work I should be doing instead of being online, for one thing. But I don't have the temptation to get on because my feed is full of people that I like used to respect. Who are just completely going blood-drenched psycho mode at just rando everyday Russian people because I think that people feel empowered to have like a common enemy, and the enemy they've chosen is just, you know, rando working class Russian people. And I gotta say, it feels pretty bad. Just the casual hatred I've been seeing reminds me a lot of like, I don't know if you remember the really, really bad days of post 9/11 and the wars on terror.
Not you don't even have to go that far back. You can just think about all the anti-Asian stuff that's been going on since COVID.
Yeah, but I didn't see that from like people that I know. Whereas this, it's people that I know that are like going out of their way to just say Russophobic shit. I don't much care for it, and I think it's pretty disgusting, and it's going to lead to real bad shit. That's my opinion on it anyway.
All right, so let's get into some of this bad shit, right? The reason we bring up Johan Hegg is because of these specific tweets that he made in regards to the UFC, which is what we were talking about earlier. He's a big fan, huge fan, loves the show. Apparently he's got Fight Pass, which I didn't even know was a thing until now. I will not acquire said Fight Pass, but you can get one. It sounds like a thing that you would cash in with the cops if you're caught at a bar, you know, catching hands or something.
Yeah, how do you acquire a Fight Pass? Just like, if you know, I know of a few people that work in customer service that could buy one.
Yeah, I think if you work in customer service, you should be allowed one Fight Pass every 6 months to 2 months, maybe. We could work that out.
I think that's
Fight Pass, it's basically like, incorrectly subscribing to the WWE network. You just get all the streaming fights you want from UFC instead of, you know, something a lot more entertaining. But he's canceling that. And he's proudly proclaiming doing such because he stands against Russia, and apparently there are some Russians still allowed to fight somewhere in the UFC. Just tainted, dirty, nasty Russian blood somehow still being allowed to be spilled on the mats.
Yeah, I will no longer enjoy watching people from this specific country beat each other into CTE. If anything, you should be encouraging more of that. That does more damage to their cause, I think.
I have the tweets in front of me. Do you guys want me to read them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Johan Hegg on Twitter. You can follow him at Amon Johan, which is so clever.
That actually is kind of nice. I like that.
Yeah, that's rolls off the tongue. Johan says, as long as UFC allows Russian fighters to compete and make money while children die in Ukraine, UFC will not get my money. I have now canceled my Fight Pass. Athletes represent their country and regime. Allowing Russian fighters to compete is to support Putin. And then, I don't know, what, 8 minutes later, I have to clarify.
Yep,
my
point. That's how you know you made a great tweet.
I feel I have to clarify my point of view. I love watching UFC, and I have nothing but respect for the skill and dedication of the athletes competing in the octagon. What is happening right now in Ukraine is a tragedy. It's the biggest war we've seen in Europe since World War II. He continues.
Are we not including like Bosnia in Europe, or is that considered something else?
I remember, you know, the whole Bosnian conflict, but I don't. Fuck, man. Like, I feel like so much shit has happened in like a week with this whole invasion of Ukraine. Like, I've never seen sanctions happen so fast. usually the speed of government is a lot slower than it's been.
I feel like they're pretty quick on the button with sanctions. It's just normally for countries that, like, the average daily income is 6 cents.
Right. So who knows what Russians are paying for gas right now? I guess that's the biggest problem. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, Putin made an unprovoked attack on Ukraine, a democratic sovereign nation. In doing so, he caused the biggest humanitarian catastrophe in modern history. 1.5 million people.
That's not true either. Like, there are other places in the world, like Yemen, where there's literally millions of people dying of starvation currently, happening right now. I feel like the tough Viking man might be off base a little bit.
Definitely within our lifetimes, the United States of America has caused way bigger humanitarian catastrophes, like, among all over, places all over the globe. So
I guess that's really the nugget that I want to get to with this, that, like,
yeah,
if the idea is that you're fighting for the banner of your country in the UFC, well, America is the Russians to the rest of the world. I can't stress that enough, that ours is a banner of murder.
I think what hits people particularly hard about Ukraine is that, like, oh, there's all these pretty white ladies and brand new cars. This can't happen here. And
it's the McDonald's thing.
Like, yeah, it's really the McDonald's thing.
Thomas Friedman, you know, who's a huge dipshit, had a column in the 90s where he said that there will never be a war between two nations that have McDonald's. That was repeated in my dipshit economics classes at UT. And that's not patently false.
I feel like there was, like, a whole thing where in one of the Middle Eastern countries that had some sort of conflict in America, all of them in some way, like, there was a McDonald's being burned down in one of those nations. They were, like, stomping Ronald McDonald out in the street and shaking their fists at the camera. It was a whole thing.
Yeah, the Mayor McCheese is a political prisoner.
1.5 million people has fled the war so far. Putin's armies are committing war crimes such as shelling residential areas, hospitals, and even firing on civilians trying to flee. So far, over 30 children have been killed in this war, more than 70 wounded. Putin has repeatedly broken ceasefire agreements, so he's just saying the news back to us. It's not really kind of fleshing out his point of view.
No.
Like, we know, we've seen all this stuff. It's been on everybody's phones, everybody's streams, everybody's front page news for weeks, right? This is just Johan Hegg telling it back to us. Specifically, what he needs to explain is, like, what is it about guys of Russian descent fighting in the UFC where you're like, enough is enough?
Yeah.
Who even knows if these guys are fighting for Russia or if they're just Russians?
I feel like you and I have been, you know, talking a lot. Jordan, do you have... I don't want to put you on the spot here, but do you have thoughts on this?
No, just... pretty dumb thing of him to say, and he's wrong. Like, what is achieved by this? It's not even like he's going after perhaps one specific fighter,
yeah,
with known ties specifically to Putin, like, for example, Alexander Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals, who has pictures with Putin, has supported him. Very publicly, when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, he took the Stanley Cup to Moscow so Putin can see it. So, and this is just, I don't like Russian fighters, get them off my TV, which is very 1980.
It is. It's like a people pining for some kind of return to a Cold War idea of morality, and it's just, the world is so much more complicated and awful than that.
It's so, like, If you keep scrolling, he's got a lot more tweets. But at the end, he said, "Is it fair to target Russian fighters / athletes with sanctions?" I think it is.
Okay.
It's not that I want to hurt them personally, but there is no middle ground here. Athletes have influence. If they don't want to speak up against this war, then they should. Then why should they escape sanctions? When people actually protesting the war in Russia at the risk of being imprisoned or worse, do not. You don't have to agree with me. I don't expect everyone to do so. But in my opinion, the world has to put enough pressure on Putin and his regime that he will end this war. And it's very like running up to random brown people on the street and just saying, "Do you rebuke terrorism? Do you rebuke your fellow men?"
Yes.
And them just being like, "What the fuck? Get away from me."
Yeah, we're getting
living
to
here
exactly,
for 30 years.
Exactly that level of stupid that we've done with other people in the past, and it's just we got a new target. It's fun. We all get to chime in and just shit on this guy. For somebody that's like a big fan of the UFC, I'm kind of surprised that he's going after Putin instead of, say, Kadyrov of Chechnya, who is deep, president of Chechnya is like deeply, deeply ingrained into the UFC culture of his country, where he's like shows up to training camps for his fighters. And, Chechens, working alongside the Russians in this conflict also. Chechnya has been executing pogroms against gay people for a couple of years now. So, again, you're not even good at the thing that you like watching.
It's like you had a real stand to make here and you didn't even make it. The whole Ukrainian conflict, it's very eye-opening about how the world can really be. It's also really strange to see just like this 17th, 18th century kind of imperialism just happen on my television out of nowhere. It's just like, I have a right to this land as said so by God. It's just so strange.
It's a little bit more honest. It's like, I'm going to take your land instead of I'm going to take your resources and under the banner of giving you more freedom or democracy or something like that. It's just... It's very clear what Putin wants, and people don't like that that it's very direct as opposed to, again, all of the resource consumption that like the United States engages in. And I don't know, take your pick of country, dude.
Yeah, and it's like, obviously, I'm not happy about this shit. It's horrible. Innocent people are losing their lives, but I want to remind everybody that every time we did it, it wasn't okay either.
Yes.
So that's just, put a couple different flags in your screen name is all I'm saying.
I would say that maybe just don't put a flag in your screen name. I think that would be a really good thing to do because, not to get all like anarchist on you, like what the fuck does this matter? Like it's a arbitrary boundary. We're all the same. It's your average Russian person isn't like, hell yeah, I think this is great that what we're doing. It's
shut your mouth, humanist. This isn't. We're not standing around in togas here, okay? Like that guy's got some stuff I want.
And I don't intend to continue boring people with this discussion through the episode. This is just something that's been getting my goat. And
let's get back to the metal.
We got to get back to the metal.
Metal news. Riffs and tone.
Yeah. So one of the things I like about metal is Bandcamp. Yeah. And did you know that on Bandcamp you can see like the top recent sellers under the metal tag? Have you seen this? Are you aware of this?
No, I don't go on. I honestly don't go on Bandcamp that much anymore.
Well, if you want to know what's hot and happening in metal, you can take a look at that. It's a lot of fun to see that Druidka has been dominating the charts lately.
Oh, yeah. They're Ukrainian, right?
They are.
That's a big part of their identity.
It is a big part of their identity. They are very proud of their nation. They're nationalists, as you might say. If you keep scrolling through, you see a number of compilations to support Ukraine. It's not just Drug that has the metalheads going wild. Lots of people want to support Ukraine via consumption of metal, and I keep seeing worse and worse things with this.
Do you have any examples?
Yeah. So I think the thing that's really got me hot and bothered about this, especially, is that seeing the example of Drudk selling so well lately, lots of other blood and soil nationalists have decided to go ahead and put their hat in the ring. Like, you know, you should probably buy our records too, because we support Ukraine. For example, Seal Unviholinen has a compilation that all proceeds go to support Ukraine, right? We want to support Ukraine. That's a good thing. They're putting out putting it out through Militant Zone. Militant Zone, of course, owned by the Malath vocalist. All proceeds go to Azov Battalion. Features tracks from Goat Moon, Pagan Skull, Fatherland, and Stormheight, etc. So a lot of opportunist Nazis have seen an opportunity to get a little bit more money from, I don't know, liberal metalheads. I don't know who it is that's like, yes, this is great.
I remember once I was selling an album on Bandcamp, and I said I would donate some money, and I did, but people, you know, they, a bunch of people bought the album that day. I said, hey, if you donated on this Bandcamp Friday, all the proceeds will go to, I think it was a trans charity at the time, because there was some, I remember another band that had our name was saying some anti-trans shit on like on some day of the month that it was important to trans people. I honestly got, I can't remember. I feel stupid, but, so I ran this whole, donation drive, a bunch of people bought the album, and I, you know, I donated the money and I showed the receipt, but, I really didn't have to at all. Like, I could have just said it was going to go where it was going to go, and then everyone bought the album, and I could have very easily just, like, kept the money, because no one was going to challenge me on that.
I don't think I've ever challenged anybody on their sale that they're donating funds. I never, I guess, thought about it.
Right, because you don't do that. You're not asking for receipts. I mean, I think I might start asking for receipts.
Well, I mean, these guys are pretty clear about it, though. The funds will go to support Ukraine via weapons for Azov Battalion.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, it's okay. So you got one of these Nazi bands, and you know, they're saying they're going to donate money, but you know, where's the proof, man? Where's the receipts? Where's the actual screenshot of the email saying we had, you know, Mate Lather very pleased with the amount of money you've given us. Thank you.
Yeah,
we're gonna use it to
photographic proof of like handing a Glock 7 to the vocalist of Malath.
That band is gonna win the war by themselves.
From what I've heard, they've been getting just fucking murdered. But violence is bad. All of this is stupid. It's no good. Let's not talk about any of this anymore, if that's okay.
Okay, never again.
Let's take it back to our shores. Let's talk about guns in America. Jordan, you shared a story with us the other day that has me fucking tickled pink. Can you share a little bit of that with us?
So, yeah, there was a local story that's been going on for like the past 2 weeks that I wouldn't say I've been following closely, but it definitely caught my attention just because of the headlines it had. And the long and short of it is that this man who was kind of living in the sticks of my state was arrested with having somewhere along the lines of 200 guns and drugs, and was firing guns at neighbors' houses and was just all sorts of crazy stuff.
That's and like Texas redneck shit.
You don't usually have something like that happen around where I live. And the name in the story of this person was arrested. It was like, I know this name from somewhere. I can't quite get where this is from. And a friend of mine reminded me exactly who this person is, because a long time ago, when I was with my current band, and we just started to play shows, and we're like, we'll take anything. We're just happy to play. We don't care who we play with, whatever. This guy who was arrested was in one of those bands. An over-the-top, really weird band called Graveside Service. Some, like, black metal, neoclassical. We dress up like the Pope and priests and go to our shows in a hearse, and it's a whole weird shtick. You can find some of their stuff on Bandcamp. Go ahead.
Did they rip?
No, they did not rip. You can find some of their demos on Bandcamp. I believe they did a song with Zaster. I think this guy played drums on one of Zaster's albums of him, you know, shrieking about, I don't know, stubbing his toe and getting out of the bathtub.
General malaise.
General sad boy stuff.
You want to talk about general sad boy stuff? I just looked at the article. I sent you guys the picture of this guy's basement.
Oh, holy shit, dude.
Yes. When they say 200 guns, it's probably well over 200 guns. And
you hear the words 200 guns, but it doesn't quite do the justice of seeing 200 guns.
Or how they're stored.
Like, the most haphazard fucking shit you've ever seen in your life.
So this guy has, I mean, this has got to be hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Maybe not guns. Maybe he built it himself. But like, this is so much money worth of shit. And it's just laid out on like one of those cheap folding tables in like this filthy ass basement, surrounded by all sorts of like, I don't know, empty shopping bags and fucking like just cans of spray paint and trash.
I have considerably less than 200 guns, but I feel like I have to like take really nice care of them because they're expensive, and then store them properly because they're guns. And this guy, he's just, whatever, fucking toss it on the pile. It's like junk mail.
The weird thing about this, or weirder thing about this, is this guy lived in like the same area as me, and I ran into him once or twice and avoided him because he is a weird guy. And I specifically remember him talking to some of us at our shows, talking about how he's a real Satanist, not like these other Satanists out here. He's a cool mom. And apparently, according to this article, he made a killing in cryptocurrency, pun intended.
That's the thing about this that really got me, man.
That was kind of like the beginning of the story. It was like, cryptocurrency guy arrested with lots of guns. And this house that he's living in the middle of nowhere, he bought outright with cash for $480,000. And I guess used the rest of that money to buy lots and lots of guns. And one of my favorite little paragraphs from this article is, when he was arrested last week after shooting rounds from his house, this person was wearing what was described as his, quote, battle belt, yes, which I really hope was a bullet belt.
Me too.
In which he had 4 firearms, ammunition, a knife, and methamphetamine.
Oh, boy. There's a picture of this fella here, and I can't tell if this is related to methamphetamines or related to the police, but it looks like he's got a few bruises upon the facial area. Again, not sure where that's coming from, but probably not great. I guess my whole thing about this is I've shit on crypto a lot over the years, but I never considered that you could use that money to buy a house and a shit ton of guns. Maybe I should have gotten into it.
Should have being the key term here, yeah.
This guy also a few years ago ran for state office as a Republican.
Of course. This guy's a big libertarian type, right?
Yeah, I get the libertarian / far right, yet somehow like my band with our hammer and sickle in our logo. So go figure.
Maybe you just thought you were being ironic.
That's what I think too. Some people don't get it, and you can see it in some of our reviews, like the horrors of communism. It's like, that's what you think, okay. Just flipping through this article, and this guy also has kids who are, you know, now having to deal with family welfare offices. Another piece of this is the ATF said it found evidence of this person was using drugs early in December. He allegedly stashed 2 handguns and flashlights containing cocaine, oxycodone, and amphetamines in the ceiling of a men's bathroom at a Tractor Supply Company store.
Shit, dude.
Damn. That's a great hiding spot.
Yeah, but you imagine you're the maintenance guy going to work on the lights in the bathroom and you find like a stash of coke in there. That's got to make your day.
Score, man.
Maybe
that's the thing.
Get into collecting comic books instead, or trading cards, something other than this, and making ghost guns.
I'm still not entirely sure what the ghost gun thing means. Like, is that where you manufacture the lower yourself?
Yeah, it's where you just, like, through 3D printing or just a purchase of a set of certain materials, you just make a gun that doesn't have a serial number at all.
It seems like that's, like, a lot of trouble to go through for as easy as it is to get a gun.
Yeah, you literally just buy it off the street with a fucking thing scratched off and you got a ghost gun. But hey, if you make some millions through crypto and you got the time and resources, well, why not? You know, just they're really just the sum of their parts. Slap that shit together, bro. It's probably fine.
Everybody needs a hobby, I guess. But, you know, we talk about this a lot. You can't let your hobbies consume your life.
Yeah, you could. And with all the money, you could pay a maid to take care of your basement.
Yeah.
But, you know, just some sort of like garbage removal service. These are great stories because the accidental millionaires that came up from crypto and just the horrible misuse of their money pretty much back to complete brokedom is always nice for me.
Well, it's like a blank check or something. What do you do? What happens when you give a fucking child $1 million?
Nothing. When you say broke, he is a public defender, which I would assume means he can't afford a lawyer.
Well, yeah. Not until he moves some guns, man. Like that he's not liquid right now. He's got his cash tied up investments.
You want him to give up his children?
These are my babies.
You know, a couple of weeks back we talked about beef. We got real excited that there might be beef between Blood Incantation and Gatecreeper, and that beef got quashed like within 10 minutes and we were all real sad about it. But there is new beef brewing, and there is nothing more exciting to me than that. Jordan, you sent me this one. This involves Lamb of God. You guys know Lamb of God?
Eternal Megadeth and Slayer opener Lamb of God. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, who's that? Remind me again.
Now you've got something to die for.
Yeah.
So what were the parameters of this beef starting out? Because it is impenetrable to me.
Mark Morton of the band, the lead guitarist of Lamb of God, some local politician had blocked him on Twitter.
Is Lee Carter,
and
right?
Who is Lee Carter?
It's a can of worms thing. He was a state rep in Virginia that was entirely too online and is now no longer a state rep.
Okay, so this guy blocked him, and Mark Morton tweeted out a picture of him being blocked and said, "But why, ? Exclamation point. And Chris Adler, who used to be in the band, the former drummer, responded to this saying, "Maybe because you are a fucking douche."
Just, he was waiting for the opportunity. He had that one right in the chamber. Pa-plow! Target eliminated.
And Mark responded, "I usually wait until after dark to drunk message my exes."
That's pretty good.
And that was the end of it.
That's not enough. Man. I need more.
Yeah,
I need more.
I don't think that's real beef. I think that's. I think again, it's just jokes between boys. Once again,
I mean, Chris Adler was pretty much kicked out of the band. I think he said, "I didn't make the decision to leave."
Really?
So that's.
I don't know.
That's what the article says.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have like a meat thermometer on this beef, man. I just don't know if it's sizzling or not. So, could be.
If you don't eat any meat, you don't get any pudding.
Right. It's funny. It's still funny. Because the douchebag comment definitely hits. It's true.
It's
now,
still,
Chris, go ahead.
It's still too early, I think, to put this in Beefwatch 2022, but I got my eye on it. The situation may elevate in days to come. So, you know, you can be sure I got my eyes on this. We will keep you abreast of the latest news in Beefwatch 2022.
I just got to get Mark on the podcast to talk about it, you know, just be like, hey, man, are you really a douchebag? Let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. And then once he elaborates on the situation, the beef will continue. But that initial interview has to happen. Some metal chud somewhere has to get this poor guy on his show to talk about what he saw on the internet.
We might have an easier time getting Chris Adler on the show.
Probably.
You know, if somebody's feeling...
I think that's fair.
If someone is feeling wronged, they're more likely to open up, I think.
We're still waiting to hear back from Bones from Stuck Mojo.
It's going to happen any day now, I'm sure.
I get dibs on the next episode.
Do you guys know Devil Master? I know I've played him on this show like 3 times now. You guys don't listen to the show, though, so...
I know them from their gimmick.
I mean, the gimmick is what? They wear cloaks or whatever when they play?
Yeah, and I think their video is there in a spooky dungeon with lights and candelabras.
That sounds right. Cool. The band, it's awesome. It's a super raw, like, death rock type of thing. I'm a big fan of that particular aesthetic. I dug their last record a lot. They got a new one coming, like, imminently. We might have got a promo for it the other day, but I forgot to check my email. So I was, you know, I'm pretty stoked on this band. I'm stoked to hear it. I was pretty excited to see them come through Dallas until I realized that they are going to be coming through Dallas, opening up for My Chemical Romance.
That's still exciting.
This is not a band I would ever in a million years predict would be opening up for the MCRs. How did this come about? Did you guys have any idea?
I assume Gerard Way is a fan.
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah. Gerard's a weirdo. So I can spot a fellow weirdo from miles away. This guy is actually a weirdo, and he's got weird opinions. And he's got weird taste. And he came up as a frontman for a band that had, you know, accidental huge success. And now he gets to do stuff like this. I feel like if I were in his position, I would do the same thing.
I'd like to think so, too.
Random weirdo bands. Yeah.
Because this is Devil Master is not a big band by any means. They don't have any kind of musical crossover with My Chemical Romance, I don't think. Folks, other than it's guitar-based music,
or it's just an obvious like pay-to-play situation, and all of the there's probably like a bunch of bands alongside them that just thought it'd be funny to pay in to open up for this show.
I mean, it is very funny. I don't know if it's a great business decision though. I can't imagine that, like, you know, all of the 37-year-old former scene kids are gonna have their fucking socks blown off by Devil Master.
You're literally talking about like the girls you went to high school with.
Yes,
that's us.
That is, I know. every woman I ever dated, I can't imagine them being like, I couldn't wait to see My Chemical Romance, but Devil Master, wow, they blew me away.
yeah, this really hits for me. I was an instant fan.
Jordan, do you think that maybe they might win some new fans with this one?
Probably not. I would say, what, 99% of the people going to the show are going specifically for My Chemical Romance, and Devil Master will probably be playing a 25-minute set as people are still walking into the arena. I think it's one of those things where it's still worth it for a Devil Master or any other band that plays the show. You might get a couple of new sales out of it, but I think your name is just out there in a way that it would never be without doing the show. Like, they're on Relapse, right?
Yes. Devil Master? Yeah, they got signed to Relapse, I think, 2 years ago.
So, they have the Relapse crowd. They're okay there. This is, you get to say you open for a major band. You're playing a venue that you will never, ever play on your own or probably with most other bands. And it's 3 dates. Why not? Just do it. Have some fun. Hopefully you don't lose money on it, and hopefully someone gets a picture of the band sitting at their tiny little merch table with like 3 t-shirts next to My Chemical Romance's like massive spread of t-shirts and booty shorts and foam fingers and signed LPs and all that stuff.
100 yards of merch.
I would definitely love to snap a picture of the crowd that was, you know, in front of my band as I was playing.
It's, yeah, I mean,
which is nobody, because My Chemical Romance doesn't come on till like what, 8, 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and they're playing like arenas, so like I don't even know if they allow people to be up front. If they do, there's going to be like barricades with the, you know, thick neck dudes standing there with their arms crossed. I don't know. It is a fun little quirk, though. I'm glad that it's happening for these guys. It is just very, very strange to me. My wife asked, like, do you want to go see Devil Master when they play Dallas? I'm like, I don't think we can get tickets on it.
just wait a while. I'm sure they will play any sort of small bar near you. It'd be much more affordable.
Yeah. Also, like, I think that for almost every single date for the My Chemical Romance tour, like, it sold out within 2 minutes, something like that. People are fucking starving for this this nostalgia.
Yeah, the openers don't matter. It's not like a draw, so you might as well get bands you want to help out or bands you genuinely like. I saw someone try to compare this with when Metallica had their Summer Sanitarium tour. It's like, it's the same thing as when they had Linkin Park and Limp Bizkit and Deftones on. It's like, no, those bands were all huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't helping anyone out in that situation. They just,
if anything, they were helping Metallica shore everything up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, this, like, is if you want to see Devil Master like on a regular tour, they're going to be playing like to maybe 100 people at like a bar. So this is a huge glow up. Like, it cannot be overstated how huge that is.
And interesting story about that, though. For some reason, my dad bought this live Linkin Park album. He just liked Linkin Park on the radio, so he bought like their Live at Texas album where they were playing a Sanitarium tour. And I just remember vividly, it was the weakest ass crowd reaction to a live band playing on an album I've ever heard in my entire life. And so it was very easy to imagine like 30 Linkin Park fans just hanging out by the guardrails in this exact instant where this album's being recorded, and just a sea of Metallica fans just politely waiting for their turn.
Man, that's got to be on the soundboard guy. Like, when you're putting together your live album cut, you got to pipe in some either real noise or fake noise. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, this was just emptiness. There was just like a tiny whisper of singing along, like maybe somewhere in the back of the mix. It was sad.
Sounded like a Shreds video.
I don't know what that means.
So I don't know. Good for the Devil Master boys. Hopefully I'll get to see them on a My Chemical Romance tour soon.
If this is successful, maybe next time My Chemical Romance will take out Old Nick.
I can tell you that nothing would delight me more than that, dude. Like, that is that makes a bunch of good chemicals appear in my brain.
You just shoving a mother's out of the way to get to the front so you could see Old Nick.
But enough of the good
just
chemicals.
Hate moshing.
Enough shrieking your heart out, pointing your finger at them.
Just 300 CGI skeletons just run into the fucking venue.
Oh my god, how sick would it be to like use a full-on hologram setup to have a bunch of fake Sega Saturn skeletons all across your stage?
Prancing around in the mosh pit as they have their little flute solos.
That would
fucking
be
64-bit ass skeletons.
Oh man, that'd be the coolest shit I can imagine. But enough of the good vibes, because I got a story for you here.
Okay.
Saw this announcement made this week. April 18th, what are you guys doing?
Jerking off, I don't know.
Relieved my taxes have been paid.
Relieving my balls.
Well, I need you to go ahead and mark this on the calendar. Book your flight right now. We got to
go. Oh, I do.
We gotta go to Nashville. We're going to Nashville, boys.
I lived in Nashville.
I know that you didn't have such a great time there, but I need you to forget about those bad memories.
No, I had a great time in Nashville. I just hated the woman I was with.
Well, remember the good parts of Nashville and okay. Get excited because we're going to Nashville.
Yay.
April 18th at the Ryman Auditorium. You know what the Ryman is, right? That's the home of the Grand Ole Opry. We're going to the Ryman for Kid Rock's comedy jam.
No fucking way.
Kid Rock's first.
That's in the Grand Ole Opry?
Yes, it's at the fucking Grand Ole Opry.
Throw out some names of musicians that have played the Grand Ole Opry,
literally,
just so people know.
Every
Dolly Parton, you know,
Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, every
the biggest of the biggest,
Toby Keith.
The Grand Ole Opry is huge. It's a big deal. And it's Kid Rock doing his first inaugural comedy jam.
so is Kid Rock actually going to do stand up, or is he just like featuring stand up comedians who are opening for Kid Rock playing live? Like, what's the setup here? Do we know anything about that?
So it says that it's hosted by Kid Rock. So he is going to be on the mic. You know, you ever been to a comedy show? Your host does.
Yeah. The MC.
Yeah. Your host does maybe like 5 minutes in between sets introducing people. So, you know, he's got a cast and crew here, featuring Donnell Rawlings. I'm not familiar. Are you guys familiar with Donnell?
Let's hear it for this motherfucker right here. Donnell Rawlings up in this bitch.
That's a pretty good Kid Rock.
Thank you very fucking much. Donnell Rawlings, everybody.
We also got, Shane Gillis, who sucks. Big J Okerson, who has been everywhere in comedy for years, and yet his career did not really go anywhere. As well as Chris Porter, Eleanor Kerrigan, and something called Chance Willie.
Something.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that shows up on a police report.
Chance. So, Dale Bigum's quote-unquote Chance Willie, arrested in Springfield. Rifle Avenue this fucking afternoon, man. I don't recognize a single soul you've listed. Not a one. And I've been into comedy. I don't know who any of those motherfuckers are.
Shane Gillis like made headlines a couple of years ago. He was joining SNL, and then people found like literally any one of his tweets. They maybe listened to his podcast. It's like Jay and Shane secret podcast or something like that, which is, you know, not great for me personally. I'm not going to judge whatever you like, but it's not for me.
When I auditioned for SNL, I hope they don't find this one. this guy's not funny at all.
You plan on moving to the Big Apple there, Jordan?
Yeah, I'm going to be Kerry King's roommate. We're going to get a flat together, and just one day you're going to turn on and see me there doing an impression of Joe Biden.
It's like a matching tribal head tattoo.
So this whole thing, I'm sure it's going to be a night of laughs and good times, but it's for a good cause, really. Like, I know that, you know, we're all having a good time, but it's important to remember a real cause. All proceeds from this event are going to benefit the Kid Rock Foundation.
Okay. So the Kid Rock Foundation. Now I know what this is, but a person who doesn't know what this is and just saw that Kid Rock was doing a fundraiser for the Kid Rock Foundation. Maybe it sounds a little sussy. Little susso.
Well, let's hear your guesses. If you don't know what it is, I want to hear what you think it does.
Tax evasion.
Right. It's just a tax write-off of some kind.
It's to help underfunded children learn music.
Yes.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Isn't that exactly what it is? Like,
no, mission statement is the Kid Rock Foundation is organized to support children's and veterans charities and to encourage music education and performance through scholarships. This charity is organized to support other charities. Jordan, you sent me the, what is it called? The Charity Navigator page for this.
It's pretty incomplete. It's either incomplete or they get poor ratings because it's not quite clear where the money goes, who the money goes to. which is not very surprising considering who he is and the circles he runs in, where a lot of their foundations, Trump Foundation, the money just kind of disappears. It gets paid out to CEOs and CFOs, but they say they do charity, and the tax man just goes, oh, I don't know. Everything looks okay to me. That's fine.
Yeah. It's like the Bandcamp thing. You know, you just say it's going to charity, so people just give the money. They don't ask questions afterwards.
Have you seen the recent stories? And this has come up a lot. The Trump campaign, even though it's not a campaign yet, they do fundraising emails where they say if you pay $2,000, you're entered into a drawing to have dinner with Trump. And then there's just never a winner. They never say who won. There's no pictures of people having dinner with him. Nothing, because it's a wire fraud.
That's like the oldest trick in the book, too, with these kinds of fucking scams.
It's like the McDonald's Monopoly thing all over again.
Well, you actually
I never met no motherfucker who won $1 million on that.
I once got a free Big Mac. That's pretty
See,
good.
See, there was a here he is, everybody got a free Big Mac.
There was a documentary about that where people were winning, but it was all some giant scam where the security people who were involved in like giving out the tickets were secretly passing along the winning tickets to people in exchange for money.
Oh my God. I read like a fucking 90,000 page, like report on that now. it's flooding back to me.
Maybe like Daily Beast or Salon. I think it was Daily Beast that had that whole article about it. And this is this long, complicated investigation. And I think it might still be on HBO. It was like a 6-part mini documentary about the whole scam. It's actually pretty interesting. So the difference is people did win, but they were stealing. And with Kid Rock, nobody wins except for Kid Rock.
It's just it's one of those things where I really think being rich is a sickness. Like, what are you even stealing for? What do you need? Like, what do you not have right now that like you could obtain through monetary gain? Like you don't have lots of things. Tact, for example.
True love.
Maybe it's like a sticker shock thing with your taxes every year. Like when you have infinite money but still see that you have to pay, you know, a drop in the bucket of $20 million, $30 million a year. I don't know. Maybe it makes people freak out and do bad stuff. Hey, you know, that's why I'm libertarian.
Do you know where I can find a ghost gun?
Yeah.
Actually, I do.
Just go in the woods and pick up, you know, big enough sticks and rocks and maybe some string from Michael's, the art craft store, and you can make your own.
Just like setting up a crafting bench for your ghost gun with acquired materials in the woods. I like that.
You could probably make a ghost gun with 4.5 cookie pens.
I don't know if it's something I would feel confident in firing a live round through.
Well, I'll tell you, if the cops find it in your pocket when you've been shot 4.5 times, I mean, why would you be shot 4.5 times? They pistol whip you on the fourth one.
Just grazing.
Yeah, it's just a grazing.
Doesn't really count as getting shot if you just get grazed.
And why would it only be 4 times? You would have 3 cops emptying their clips. It's a bunch of times.
Yeah, they're bad shots.
Yeah, they're poorly not a trained. Good joke.
It's you're right. But anyway, they would take a picture of that motherfucker and, you know, all the Republicans reading the news would be like, well, he deserved it.
I might have. You never know. I think this is good. No, it does make sense, though, that this is held immediately after tax day. But now that you mentioned that, the Get Kid Rock Back in the Black Fund, I like that. I think that actually covers all of the things I wanted to talk about on this show. Let me open up to you fellas. What pressing things do we need to get to here?
I'm going to interrupt Jordan completely on this. No, I'm not. Jordan, go ahead.
I need, since Breno is back on the show, I need him to explain and defend the new Ghost album.
Yes.
And this is one of those times where I wish we were doing this in person, so yeah. As he explains it, I could hit him with a pool noodle the entire time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys can just hit me with your words, which is just as painful. So what's the prosecution state here? Like, what's the problem?
Well, you know? Joe and I have both heard the song 20s. and you have said that you like the album.
Oh, and I didn't know you guys song, heard that one.
Even that song, you said in context, what made sense, was good, was acceptable. I need you to present your case in front of the court.
All right. So Ghost is like Satanic Disney World. Okay? That's what it is. It's
bombastic, you put two bad flavors together.
Theatrical. Yeah, it's like a theme park in Florida for mall Satanists. All right? It's fun. That's what it is. It's just fun. It's just silly.
Hot. It's full of COVID.
It's fucking, it's a snow cone covered in blue raspberry. That's what it is. And it's got a little red pentagram drawn in fruit punch on the blue snow cone. That's what it is. And it's a delightful little romp through the world of Ghost. Okay, that's all it is. This latest album I find extremely good, pretty much due to the fact that it's just like 80s arena rock revival. Still have their flavor on it because Tobias Forge can really only write a couple songs. I get that. I love the band, but you know, he's only got so many tricks in his sleeve.
Only write so many songs.
Right. You know, as many as they make of Papa, there's really, you know, there's only so many tracks that this guy can put together, but they're bops. They're great. And I think there's a lot of Van Halen, a lot of Whitesnake stuff going on. There's great like 80s style ballads. This is like an 80s arena rock album. So the songs that came out before the album, I didn't think were very good. I didn't like them very much. If you guys have heard the 20s, I'm already shooting myself in the dick on this one for defending anything where that abomination is present. I understand that. But I mean, even Little Sunshine is catchy, but that music video, there's no excuse. There's just no fucking excuse that enough people sat down and watched that music video before it was released on YouTube and said, yeah, that's good. That's fine. Let's keep that one. That should have never happened.
I guess my only context for this record is 20s. So, you know, you're telling me that there's 80s arena rock on there. And what I heard was, I don't know, Andrew Lloyd Webber-esque show tunes, really just jamming words together to advance the plot in a way that I find deeply unpleasant.
It's a skipper for me. And the biggest problem with 20s is that Tobias Forge had the infinite creative knowledge to put an intro track leading into 20s that's just like horns and stuff. So you waste two tracks on 20s, which is, that could have been deleted from existence. It was such a like cutting room floor song. It's so bad. I hate 20s. Don't get me wrong. But where there's 20s, there's also 80s. And 80% of the album is fucking great.
In the 80s. In the 80s.
In the 80s. Listen, it's a terrible song. I don't know. It's the worst creative decision he's ever made releasing that by itself before the album came out. It's such a bad idea.
It's fun seeing because the album just came out this past week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It just came out Friday, Friday.
Just seeing people talk about how much they love the album, the album's great, and then like having to be, well, except for this song, or except for this part. It feels like the Simpsons episode where Bart becomes a religious healer and Homer builds a float for Homecoming Parade. And he drives out and he's drunk. He's like, hold on a second. I have to explain everything so you get it. That's kind of how it feels with people having to explain that song.
I think the best tracks of this album, these were the songs that they should have definitely fucking featured before the album came out. And everyone would have been genuinely excited instead of arguing about the quality of it. Watcher in the Sky and Griftwood are the two top fucking tracks in this album by a lot. And right. Sometimes a good album has really just two great songs. Let's be real. That's pretty universal.
I'm going to listen to these tracks, and if they don't rip, I'm coming for you.
Griftwood is just a direct Van Halen knockoff. You're going to hear that opening little intro, and you're going to be like, this is Van Halen. This is stupid. But
might as well jump.
It's fucking exactly like that, yeah. Watcher in the Sky is sick. I mean, Hunter's Moon was all right, but it's so the soundtrack for a Halloween movie, and it's still is on this album. I don't think it should have been on the album at all.
When Ghost puts out inevitably a rock opera movie, are you going to watch it?
No. I'm not. That sounds bad.
I do want
to. That's what bad. It sounds like they're going towards, right? Yeah.
I guess.
I think.
I think production's getting bigger and bigger, and now we're having some. It sounds like this is a concept album, or at least some of the songs have some sort of thematic schemes to it. So you might as well either make a movie or go on Broadway and do this, because that's what it seems like they want to do.
It's very dark deco, I think, is the point. But I don't think really putting it out for any, like, I think the biggest visual production you could get in relation to the band is probably just a live show. And that's really it. You don't really need to do anything else. I really hate their little YouTube videos. It's like anti-humor. It's so unfunny. And it's Tobias Forge really trying to be funny and be tongue in cheek. And it's just the smile drains from my face every time I see one of those videos. It's just not a chuckle or a nose snort to be had with any of them. They're not fucking funny. I hate his little backstory. I hate his like Papa Zero with the mother lady and the fucking like, I hate that shit, but the music speaks for itself. I like the music. What can I say?
I'm just kind of getting a kick out of imagining Papa, whatever he's calling himself now, Emeritus or whatever, just doing like a Neil Hamburger bit, like his next incantation is a poorly fitting tuxedo. He's just constantly hawking spit.
And that's my life.
I could kind of get into that one, I think.
It's great album. I think this is probably, in terms of like what a metal fan would like, this is probably this. A lot of these songs fall in line a lot more with metal stuff. Like if you thought Rats was a bit more of a bop, then you would like this album more than you probably liked Prequel. So that's my fucking take, man. I like Ghost. I know that they have a trillion fans and they're on the radio, but they're the one kind of Nickelback, Imagine Dragons level band that I'm just going to have myself made fun of for the rest of my very cool underground life.
Very well. And if you'd like to take Breno to task for his views vis-a-vis Ghost, you can do that at Breno Grounded on Twitter. If you want to congratulate Jordan for being a good presence on the show, he is at 365 Days of Horror on Twitter. And I'd prefer that you didn't mention anything I said on this show to me ever again, so I'll just leave mine out.
At Joe Thrashenkill, twitter.com. Go see him, find him, tweet him, follow him, reply to him every day.
Now that the show's over, I feel like we can go ahead and congratulate ourselves for, I think, to this, yeah, we have not once mentioned the Foo Fighters horror movie, and I feel pretty good about that.
We didn't also mention the Netflix show that's coming up. We'll have to talk about that next show.
Yeah.
Or we Metal can... Lords.
Wait, what is
Lords
that?
Lords of Metal. It's this fucking Netflix show that's coming out that's like produced by Tom Morello, where like three high school kids make a metal band together and there's a cello in there somewhere.
Ooh.
That sounds like it's going to be very annoying.
Yeah, cello is a... That's a deal breaker for me, my friend.
Wait, a metal band, but I'm a band geek.
My glasses. I like the idea of that being like a recurring point. Like he keeps losing his glasses. I think that's classic humor.
Fucking hate this shit. It's the same shit as like that horror movie that everybody talked about because it had a metal theme that sucked. What was
Deathgasm?
That called? Deathgasm was a shit. Fucking hated that movie. We gotta go. I know we gotta go, but I'm gonna go get mad off my
microphone. You're just getting warmed up.
I'm just gonna go yell at my wife for 20 minutes about Deathgasm, and this poor woman is gonna cower in the couch.
All right, I just clicked stop and I restarted it. This is now the bonus show, everybody. Let's talk about how we hate seeing our the things we enjoy reflected back to us in media.
Okay. I mean, are you serious?
No, I'm not. I'm so fucking down, dude.
All right, that's fine. That's fine.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Again, don't get mad at me. And And hey, we'll see you next time.
Love you, Joe. Love you, Jordan. Love you, beautiful, awesome, sexy, great-looking listener. I love those pants, man. Hope you're having a good drive, brother. You look fucking amazing. I hope you have the best day at work ever. I love you. Keep it metal, bros. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.